with the feeling a little bit, Brother Mark, there. I was thinking about, you know, what St. John said at the end of his epistle there. He says that to all the things that Christ did, to the world itself couldn't contain the books. And when you begin to look into some of these subjects, you know, how broad and how, you know, it's like, how do you fit all this into just a short message? And I wrestled with that as well, and just wasn't really sure where to go with it all, with what I want to share here. But so I just thought I just want to share some thoughts that bless me, instead of trying to, you know, get every last thing. Just try to get some high points. But as far as the teaching on Christ here, I sometimes think that we don't really get as excited as we ought to about Jesus Christ. Now, I was thinking about how the angels said, what heaven said over those shepherds there on that pasture that night. Said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men." The Messiah that has been prophesied for thousands of years has finally arrived. You know, we ought to be thankful that we get to live in the day of the Messiah. The many prophets and righteous men desired to see that and didn't get to. And here we are today, and we get to hear that teaching, hear who Jesus is. We have so much to be thankful for. And so I want to share this morning on the Holy Spirit, and then at the final end, we heard about God, we heard about Jesus now, and now we'll look in the Holy Spirit, and then I want to try to tie it all together as far as the oneness of God. So let's stand to our feet, and maybe you can stretch a little bit. We'll have a prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, all the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, Lord, help us to get an accurate picture of who you are. Lord, so many things come right when we relate rightly to our God. Father, thank you so much that you've put so much in place for your children. Lord, we have no excuse. You've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, help us to tap into it. Help us to, at least, even though we can't plumb the depths, help us to go deeper, Father, in you and what you have for your children. Bless us now as we look into your word. And pray that you would guide my thoughts and my stammering lips. Lord, help me to say those things you want me to say and to leave unsaid what need not be said. Bless your dear people. Thank you for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was studying this here about the Holy Spirit and who He is and what He does, I was really inspired with how much God has put in place for His people. You know, the Scripture says there, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I will not leave you orphans. You know, I was thinking about how it would be. You know, just imagine with me that if, let's just say, I don't know, let's just say John. Brother John here, he would have, and I'm picking him just because I picked somebody. Let's say that Brother John would get the privilege of having Jesus Christ in person at his side all day long, week after week, month after month, year after year. And wherever John would go, Jesus Christ would go with him. And whatever he would face, he would have the answer for him. He would help him to work through the things he needs to work through. You know, wouldn't Brother John, wouldn't we be quite certain that Brother John would make it? Wouldn't we? I mean, if a person would have that privilege of walking, you know, in your truck, you get on the road, and Jesus Christ would be there with you. And he would help you wherever you are. You know, we would be confident that person would make it to heaven. He would make it through the temptations he faces. But you know, brothers and sisters, in a very real sense, that's what we have through the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, Jesus Christ dwelling in us. Who is the Holy Spirit? A verse that really blesses me in 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." So Jesus Christ is that Spirit. You know, I was just amazed at the kindness of God to not leave us orphans, not leave us comfortless, but to give each one of us, each one of you brothers in the front row here, each one of you, that personal helper, that personal comfort, that personal advocate in your life to walk with you through the day. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I was just struck with the kindness of God. I thought about, we as Christians, we have so much going for us. There's no excuse. If we don't make it, brothers, there's no excuse. We have all we need. God has gone to great lengths to make provision for His people. Turn your Bibles to John 14, verses 16 through 18. Just want to hit on a few high points. There's no way, I have a paper here that it's full of categories and scriptures in the front and back of the Holy Spirit, but I just kind of had to set that aside for the most part because I just got confused when I started trying to look at all that. I got overwhelmed. John 14, 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, speaking of Himself there, and shall be in you. Jesus was with them in person, as we're talking about. He was walking with them. He says the time's coming when that's the beauty of the Spirit, because each one of us can have that personal connection with Jesus Christ. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We have that, brothers and sisters. We have that indwelling Christ. And it's actually even greater. It's even more beautiful now in the Spirit than it was in a physical way, because now He says, I'll take that stony heart out of your flesh and I'll put My Spirit in there. And so He actually dwells inside of us, and He actually changes our heart and gives us new desires, new will to do His good pleasure. So there's actually a deeper work through the Spirit now that we can experience because of Him dwelling in our hearts. Amplified broadens this word comforter out. It says, and I will ask the Father, He will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Yeah, that's what the Lord is for us. You think about Brother John and Jesus walking with him. All the things that He would do for him. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for us. Christ said in chapter 16 there, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. He says, it's actually better for you that I go away. And the Spirit is actually able to do more than just Jesus Himself alone on the earth. Because the Spirit can be in all of our hearts at the same time. Okay. Yes. All right, just some, let's see here. So He wants to dwell in us. He wants to put that spirit of adoption in us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it's a mark of us being His child. That down payment of the Holy Spirit in our lives makes us part of the family of God, because there's something of Him in us. And it has to do with family, with being part of Him. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in your life this morning, you're not His child. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, there's a Spirit. His Spirit is imparted to you. But and that Spirit desires to reign in your life, in my life. It desires to begin a work of sanctifying us. But the serious thing is, this is where I think where we fail God is that Spirit can be quenched. That Spirit can be greed. That Spirit can be restricted from reigning there as God would have it reign. And the result be that holy life, that Christ-like life, where we become little Christ as that Spirit governs our life. And we live like He would live. So the responsibility we have is to let Him have His way, and to walk with Him, and to not quench, not grieve, not silence, not push out that Spirit. I think when that Spirit pushes out, we're no longer a child of God. So that's God's heart for us, to allow that Spirit to have His way and rule and reign in my life. Okay, you can just listen here. I want to just touch on a few high points of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, does do in our life. Remember, we talked about that broad sense there of Him being that comforter, that counselor, that helper, that intercessor, that advocate, that strengthener, that standby. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. You can just listen here. If you want to write these references down, you can. In Romans 8:11, He enables us to overcome sin. The Holy Spirit dwelling in your life will give you a power over sin that you don't have yourself. The Scripture says, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, give life to your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He'll enable you to live above sin. Okay, the second one here, the Holy Spirit brings sanctification into our lives. If He's allowed to do His work, to move in there, and to work in your life, He'll bring sanctification into your life. Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles can be made acceptable to God, being sanctified by who? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires a work of sanctification in my life, in your life. May I allow Him to have His way. The Holy Spirit teaches the child of God. He teaches the child of God. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay, so the Comforter, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So if I walk in a sensitive way to the Spirit of God, He'll teach us. He'll show us things. He'll guide us in our life. He'll teach us truth. He shall teach you all things. Romans 8:26, He helps us in our weaknesses. Don't we have plenty of those, brothers and sisters? I have so many weaknesses. But the Spirit of God, this helper, this advocate, will help us in our weaknesses. Praise God. You know, this is some of the kindness of God to not leave us here as orphans. That word comfortless has idea. It's actually orphanos or something. I'm not sure how to say it right, but it's the Greek word for orphan there. And you know, think about it. You know, Jesus going back to heaven, and we're just here by ourselves. It's like our head is gone. And but He actually comes, and He's here dwelling in us. He wants to walk with us and to help us in our things. So we have many weaknesses. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Praise God. The Spirit wants to help your infirmities, to make it something like Paul, where he's actually able to glory in that his infirmities, because he found God's strength there greater. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So two things here. He helps our infirmities, but also the Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit knows what we need, and He intercedes on our behalf to God. Thank the Lord. Another one here in John 16:13, the Holy Spirit guides the believer. He is similar to teach, but here it says He guides. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show thee things to come. So are you confused at times in your life? I am. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all truth. Acts 1:8, He empowers us. He empowers us. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Just a few things that the Holy Spirit does for us. There's many, 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 many things. We're just touching a few. But one of the things He wants to do is He wants to empower you to be a witness. Do you feel weak at times? timid, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to be a witness. Christ said that it was important after Christ, he said that wait in Jerusalem to be empowered with, endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit, you think about Peter afterwards, after the Holy Spirit came compared to before, he was just so afraid to stand up. But afterward, you know, that little girl intimidated him. But or the girl. But afterward, he boldly proclaimed the gospel. The Holy Spirit can do that in us. I know Brother Jerry Mahor used to be so timid, he said. But now he preaches the gospel fearlessly on the streets. The Holy Spirit can empower us to be witnesses. If you find yourself timid, ask God for the Holy Spirit. Along with that, in Acts 4:31, he gives boldness to the child of God. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit can give us that boldness. They had threatened those disciples. They had said to not preach anymore in this name. They gathered together and like, what do we do? They're threatening us. And they prayed, and the place was shaken, and God gave them boldness through the Holy Spirit. Another one here that I think is a good one for us to keep in mind is the Holy Spirit gives joy to the believer. We don't really think of that a lot, but he does. Do you believe Christ was a joyful person? I believe he was. He was filled. He had the Lord, it says that God gave the Spirit without measure unto him. And he said one time that my joy might remain in you. So the Holy Spirit wants to give joy to the believer. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. We think of it in that way. We ought to be, as Isaac said this morning, we ought to have a joy in our life that the world can see. Not something that's just, you know, necessarily gushy, but just an inner joy in the Lord. Joy in the Holy Ghost. It's part of the Holy Spirit. Much, much, much more could be said. I'll end this section here with one more. It kind of puts a lot in it in one verse here in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And here it gives us a whole list. The fruit of the Spirit, if that Holy Spirit is allowed to do its work in your life and mine, and work that work of sanctification in my life, this will be some of the fruit. Love will be there. Brothers and sisters, love. Don't we need that in our lives? One to another. When someone offends us, to respond in love. Love. Joy. We mentioned that. Peace. Do you like peace in your life? Long suffering. Able to take wrong and suffer long. Gentleness. Do you find yourself being coarse at times? Let the Spirit work those things out of your life. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. If you allow the Holy Spirit to work full in your life and to be really ruling and reigning there in its fullness, you'll need no law to guide your life. It will cause you to be as Christ in every way. Think about it. If Jesus, and remember this, Holy Spirit is Jesus, personally being a helper, comforter in each of our lives. If Jesus is living inside of us and he has given freedom to govern our lives, will not this be the result? It will. Some conditions for receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay, we mentioned earlier that the world cannot receive the Spirit. It's only this privilege of the Holy Spirit in our lives is only for the believers. So there are some conditions for receiving the Spirit. Do you want the Spirit in your life? Yes. Amen. I want it. I pray often for the Holy Spirit to fill me and to enable me. So there's some conditions to meet if we want to receive it. First of all, we must be converted. Acts 2:38-39, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So first and foremost, you must be a child of God. You must be born of the Spirit and have that down payment, that earnest of the Spirit, put in your life. Number two is ask. Ask. Remember the story? Jesus, the beautiful story says, you know, if your child asks you for a fish, would you give him a snake? Bread? Would you give him a stone? Something else, I think. Anyway, he says, if ye then, being evil, this is Luke 11:13, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you think God's up there wanting to hold it back? No. If we're in an honest heart, wanting to walk with him, needing his help, God is going to give it to us. He will. Let's not quench it. Let's not grieve it and silence it. So ask. Conversion, ask. And the third one I have here, maybe there's more. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So if we are willful and not obedient to the word of God, can we ask for the Spirit and expect to receive it? No. It's for those that obey him. Was there a third, another one, Leroy? I think one time I heard you quoting these here. Was there something else? I was thinking one time you said about the conditions, and I was thinking I might have missed one. Do you know what off?
Well, I think of those two.
Uh-huh.
All the time.
Okay, all right.
I think of another, but
okay, well, I thought I heard you mention the conditions one time, and I thought maybe I missed one, but it sounds like that may be summed up fairly well. Okay, so yeah, just again, just to reiterate here, briefly, in this part here, that the marvel, the goodness of God, brothers and sisters, to give His Spirit and what He wants to do. Let's let Him have His way. Let's not quench the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart in an area, don't take that lightly. It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I was thinking there's the one that I missed, actually, that he convinces the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's God's means to bring repentance to us. Yeah, I'm not sure where I missed that, but he convinces the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So if you feel the Spirit of God prompting in your heart, soften your heart. Yield to Him. Let Him rule and reign there and bring out the beauty of Christ in your life. It's a great privilege, but yet we have the responsibility to yield and not quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, because that happens too much. A person may begin that journey. He may be converted and begins that walk with God, enters the way, and the Holy Spirit comes down and lives in his life. And God's will is for him to begin to walk in the way. And the earnest of the Spirit is put in him. But then if he goes back to self and refuses to allow that Spirit to work all through his life and sanctify and purify and bring out the life of Christ in him, he's not going to progress in this way. The Spirit's going to be grieved and quenched and maybe eventually leave. And he'll be back to as he was before, you know, or worse than before. So it's important for us to realize we're so blessed. We have something they didn't have before. The Comforter has come. Yes, and it's Jesus Himself dwelling in our hearts. What a privilege we have. Not on the outside, not just Brother John having the privilege of it, but each one of us having the indwelling Christ in our hearts. What a privilege. So just a few thoughts here in closing on the Trinity. The other day I was out having a little time of prayer before a Bible study or something. And I was out there praying and meditating and out behind that old barn behind our place. And I thought about this mystery. I'm not sure how much to elaborate on it, but yeah, I was there praying, and all of a sudden I felt this kind of cold pressure in my back, and I saw some movement, maybe out of the corner of my eye or something, and then I looked and there wasn't anything there, and then I kept on, you know, feeling this cold pressure and seeing some movement, but then there was nothing there, and I'm talking about the wind. So don't, but you know, it just hit me there. I was there praying, and then I just saw the grass rustling there. I could feel the wind blowing against me here, the cool wind, and I could see the movement there. But I just thought, you know, what a mystery this is that, you know, we take it so for granted, but yet the grass is rustling. You can hear it. There's a pressure. There's a force there. But yet when you actually look, you can't see anything except the movement of it. And just thinking about the mystery of that, and it almost seemed like a spiritual thing, that it's a force you can't see, but yet it's a real force. And there is many mysteries like that in life, and so many things we just take for granted, that, you know, it's the way it is. We don't think that much about it. But then when it comes to the mystery of the Godhead, you know, the Trinity, and, you know, it almost seems confusing sometimes, and how can this be this, but yet it not be this, and you know, one plus three equals one, how is it, one times, one plus one equals three, right? But in the Godhead, it's still one. You know, one plus one plus one still equals one, and we wrestle with these things, and we want to figure it out. We don't like it being a mystery, but I believe we need to just let it be a mystery. And just like the wind, you can't see anything, but yet it's there. You can feel it, but yet you can't see it. You know, how can that be? If you can feel it, you ought to be able to see it, right? I think our place is to believe it and let it be a mystery. I think sometimes people, there's several camps, probably at least two, if not more, but one camp says it's not three, it's just one, you know, the Jesus only doctrine. But then others say, simplify it too much and say that, and I agree, it is somewhat like marriage, two becoming one, but I don't think that even does it justice either. It's more complex than just my wife and I being one. And we'll look at that a little bit. So yeah, let's let it be a mystery. Let's not let's let the Word of God be the Word of God, even if it doesn't add up in math. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is how many? One Lord." We don't, as them say, believe in three gods. We don't believe in a daddy, mama, and baby God either. That's heresy. In turn to 1 John 5, verse 7. First John 5, verse 7 says, There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And who is the Word? Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible actually exalts the Word. We often don't really include the Word in the Trinity, but the Word of God and Jesus are one. By the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made. All things were made by Him. In Revelation, you see His name on Him is the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, we need to be very, very reverent how we teach the Word of God. If we want the fullness of God in us, let's let the Word of God abide in us. I think in a sense, we could maybe say there's four. You know, there's the Word of God is part of God Himself. So, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You see it in Genesis, the very, very beginning, the plurality of God. God said, "Let us." That word God there is Elohim, has the idea of plurality. If you look it up, plurality. "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." The Godhead, in some mysterious way, communicating there. In Mark 1, 9, 11, you see the three there. Jesus coming up out of the water after he was baptized. The Holy Spirit coming down as a dove out of heaven. And the voice of the Father in heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You see the three there. But yet the mystery of it. The mystery of it. In John 14, 16, Jesus says to Philip. Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus, if you just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. We want to see your Father in heaven. And Jesus almost rebukes him there. He says, "Philip, come on. Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Philip, if you just look at me and you see the Father. You know, it goes along with what Isaiah says, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." What? I thought it's a son. But they're one. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Jesus Christ is God. God in the flesh. The mystery of it. I thought I had one more here. Yes. John 3:13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven." This is Jesus speaking here. Jesus on earth is saying these words. Think about it. He's on earth. His feet are on the ground. He's saying this. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." So while he was on earth, he was, you know, mystery? Yea, verily. Mystery. Let's let it be a mystery. We don't have to try to reduce it down to human reasoning and force it through our math. No. Let's let the Word of God, let's let God be that that mysterium tremendum, I think that Brother Denny said. I'm not sure what that means, so maybe it's not the right word. But let's let God be so great that we can't figure him out. If we reduce him to our reason, he's no longer God. One last one here. John 14:23. Just turn there if you would, please. John 14, verse 23. We talked earlier about Jesus Christ being that Holy Spirit that wants to come dwell in our hearts. And here we see it even broadened. John 14, 23, "Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost dwelling in our hearts. Amazing mystery. Amazing. How could it be that God would dwell in our hearts? We will come unto him and make our abode in him, with him. Turn in the song books to number 88. I thought it'd just be fitting to sing that song here at the end. I don't know if we should make this our closing song. It is a little bit late. I would like to sing this here. And I'll let Brother Leonard come up and close. Number 88. As you think about who God is, who his Son is, and them by the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in our hearts. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing this song. Eternal.